Genesis chapter 8, and last week we began talking about Noah, and there was a worldwide flood that came, and because of man's wickedness, Noah and his family escaped. The ark was a houseboat, if you will, and so they're on this humongous houseboat, I don't know how you say that, but anyway, they lived on it, all right, and it's this humongous ark boat, and they were rescued, you know, they were rescued from the coming judgment. Aren't you thankful God's given an ark of safety to us today to deliver us from this present evil world, and that's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, church? We have an ark of safety in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. After a year, though, of being on the ark, finally the time came for Noah to leave the ark and his family. He had his wife, his three sons, and their wives. And so all eight of them exited the ark, and as they left, everything was going to change. It was a new year, for one thing. We saw that last week in verse 13. And they were going to start their life anew. Noah and his family had received a second chance. And that is so applicable, I think, at this time of the year. The past year, 2015, is over, and this is 2016. And just like Noah, God in his grace has given you and I a brand new year. Are y'all thankful God gave you a new year? Say amen, huh? Aren't you glad for that? And it's a time of new beginning and a fresh opportunity, a kind of a brand new start. So many of you have commented on the banners and how much you like them. And it says our God gives new life and new beginnings. And it's the truth. He does. He really does that. How do you successfully, though, make a new start? You know, how do you make a new start in your life? Well, we began to look at this last week, and I really don't want to spend much time reviewing. Of course, you can listen online to last week's if you missed that, maybe because of the holidays, but very important lesson last week on the importance of worship in our life and how that has to be the foundation. But I want to give you a third point. I want you to go ahead and write this in your handout. The third principle in making a new start is that you must move forward out of the past. You must move forward out of the past. I want you to go to Genesis now, chapter 8, and I want you to notice something as I begin reading in Genesis 8, verse 16. I want you to notice how many times the word forth is used. You ready? Let's look at verse 16. God said, verse 15, to Noah, go forth, God said, verse 16, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And then again, bring forth with thee every living thing that's with thee. Of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle and of every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. Verse 18 says, and Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds, notice, went forth out of the ark. Go forth, bring forth, went forth. We see that word forth over and over. I looked it up in Webster's. Do you know what the word forth is defined as in Webster's? The word forth is defined as forward, onward in time. Forward, go forth, go forward. And then it's defined as onward in time. In Webster's, it says that synonyms for the word forth are the words onward, ahead, and forward. Noah and his family were in this humongous ark, this boat. They're in that thing for over a year. Over a year they're in that thing. Now, you know that there had to be a lot of challenges that Noah faced during that year, just as you faced challenges last year in 2015. I got tickled. Well, I kind of got a good sense of humor. And I like to laugh. I love to laugh. Anybody in here like to laugh? Say amen. You like to laugh? I love to laugh. And I saw this, and it really kind of got me tickled. I'll tell you what the caption said. Let's go ahead and bring up the picture. And there's Noah, all right? You see all the animals. And I don't know if you noticed, but on the right is a woodpecker. And the caption under it said, the woodpecker may have to go. He's going to sink the ship, right? The woodpecker may have to go. You can take that down now. But anyway, you know, they're in that thing for a year, and you know they had challenges. And now, though, in Genesis 8, 16, it's now time to leave that stage of their life, and it's time to move forward. God said, go forth. Now, it's interesting that Noah did not, you know, sit down in the ark and say, no siree, buddy, I'm staying right here. I know this ark. I'm safe here. I mean, it might start raining again. I want to stay right here. I want everything to stay the same. I am satisfied right where I'm at, and I'm not moving. No, he realized that he had to go forward. He had to move forward. Things would never be the same as they were the past year for Noah and his family. The past year was unique and different, to say the least. And he could not sit around talking about the way things used to be. How many of you have noticed nothing stays the same forever? You notice that? And I mean, think about it. Noah was engulfed in a building project, building that thing for over about 100 years. He's in a building project for 100 years. But then the day came when things changed and God said, get aboard. And then finally they're on board and they get comfortable there. And God says, okay, it's time to leave. You got to go forth. Get out. And in your handout, it says that it was time to leave this chapter of his life and move on. It was time to leave this chapter of his life and move on with life, launch out into new territory, pioneer new ground. And I thought, man, what a lesson for us here at the beginning of a new year. We're only 10 days into this year. And I got to tell y'all something, that as I studied this out, it really encouraged me personally, and it also encouraged me as it pertained to this ministry that I love dearly called Crossroads. You know, Crossroads this year, I believe, is at a crossroads. We're at a crossroads. We're like Noah. And I think that we can either choose to live in the past or we can move forward and go forth into the future. We can say, no, we're comfortable in the ark. We aren't moving, but we're comfortable. we are moving, but we're comfortable. Or we can say, you know what, the ark has stopped moving and God's calling us to make some changes. It's like this picture, I'll bring it up. And you got this sailboat, right? And so you got the sailboat and the goal is it wants to get to the other side of the lake. The sails have been set in order to utilize the current winds. But then all of a sudden the winds change and the boat quits moving. So right away, somebody in the boat comes up with a great idea. They say, hey, let's change the sails in order to take advantage of the winds and reach our goal because our current paradigm, the current way we're setting the sails, isn't working. And right away, of course, somebody in the boat stands up and objects and says, no. We have always set the sails this way in the past. This is the way we've always done it. And you know, we are content and we are very comfortable with the past because we've always set the sails this way. Well, okay, all right, that's an option. But you got to concede to sitting on the lake and not moving and not reaching your goals. You got to be okay with living in the past and not moving forward and not reaching your spiritual goals in Christ. Personally, I am not okay with that as it pertains to our church. I am not okay with sitting in the ark or sitting out in the middle of the lake. How about you? I'm not content with that. Let me let you all in on I'm going to say something profound, and some of you are going to be so amazed, it's going to blow you over when I tell you this. Did you know that we are no longer in 1996? Now, isn't that profound? Hey, let me share something with you. We're not in 2006. And you know, I got to thinking about that, and it kind of blew me away. Do you realize 2006 was 10 years ago? Does it seem like that to you? In the early service, a little boy said, yes! He can't believe people were alive then, you know, in 2006. To me, that seems like yesterday. That's a decade ago. 2006 is now a decade ago. It's crazy. We're not in 1956. We're not in 2006. We're not in 1996. We're in 2016. What we did as a church and the methods that we used to get the work of Christ done, you know, the methods that, I'm not talking about doctrine, that doesn't change. Aren't you thankful the Bible doesn't change, amen? That doesn't change. We don't compromise that, we don't change our doctrine. But our methodology that we use to reach people, to grow people, the methodology that we use in getting the work of Christ done, what we did in 2006 is pretty irrelevant. What we did last year pretty much doesn't matter. We got to move forward. We have to constantly be resetting the sails, if you will. You know, I read this quote, and I thought it was so good. I want you to think about this. And I want you to think maybe where you would fall in this quote, all right? I know sometimes self-analysis is not fun, but I want you to think about yourself, okay? Think about this quote. The pessimist complains about the wind. The optimist expects it to change. The realist adjusts the sails. The realist simply adjusts the sails, takes advantage of the current wind, looks at the change as an opportunity. You see, if we don't reset the sails as a church, what happens is we become immobilized and we begin to spin our wheels and we quit moving. How many of you remember down at the corner down here at Bevel and Clyde Morris in the Publix Plaza, how many of you remember a humongous place at the end of that plaza there called Blockbuster Video? How many of you remember that? I drive by that. It's still empty. I think about Blockbuster. I used to go in there and rent Andy Griffith VHS tapes. I remember that. I seriously do. Did you know that in the early 2000s, Blockbuster sat comfortably on a $6 billion share of the home movie rental business? There was this young, seemingly unintimidating entry into the market called Netflix. But Blockbuster had 9,000 stores in the United States. I mean, they had a $6 billion share of the market. They were, the big daddy. Blockbuster paid no mind to this upstart company called Netflix. I mean, they didn't pay any mind to them. They continued on their merry way. What Blockbuster had not considered was that Netflix was offering a more convenient and less expensive alternative to their current offering. Had Blockbuster spent more time and energy and resources researching the business model that Netflix had developed, they could have likely identified its potential and could have bought out that small company in the year 2000. They were offered the opportunity to buy them out or at least emulated its own digital concept early on. This article goes on to say, by the time Blockbuster released a digital version of its product, Netflix had captured much of the market and had positioned itself as a much more innovative company than its plummeting former leader. And the article summarizes and says, ultimately, it says, we cannot presume that any current strategy or model is going to function in the same successful capacity forever, regardless of the results that we have experienced up to that point. No one is safe enough to grow stagnant when surrounding variables are constantly changing. By the way, just to kind of end the story here, Blockbuster went bankrupt. They were bought out by Dish Network. And oh, those 9,000 stores, there are 51 of them left in the United States. 51 out of 9,000. Just think, had they readjusted the sales when they should have, you guys might be telling your friends, hey, I saw a good movie on Blockbuster last night instead of Netflix. Same thing happened to Kodak. They were the leader in photographic film industry throughout most of the 20th century. But Kodak failed to accept and understand the importance of the shift from paper to digital formatting. And it cost them dearly. They're playing catch up instead of being a trailblazer like Canon and others. I wonder, anybody in here still take paper photos and still put them in albums? Anybody do that? Yeah, see my point? All right, yeah. And nobody does that. Things change, don't they? Life changes. Hey, when trains were invented as a mode of transporting things and as a mode of transportation, people had a fit. And they said, no, you cannot have these trains. It will not work. Those crazy things are going to kill people. They're going 15 miles per hour. That's exactly what people said. They're going 15 miles per hour. You can't have that. What's the point in all this? Is that you have to reset the sails constantly, like Noah, or you are going to be left behind. And the same is true in our work for Jesus Christ. 2016 is going to be a year of resetting the sails for Crossroads. I'm real excited. And I want to encourage you as we endeavor to make changes. I mean, you look at this morning, and the 9:30 service was so full, we had both overflows open and practically full, and the balcony and everything else. And I told the early service, I said, this service is at about 90% capacity, 95 maybe. I said, you know, statistics clearly show once a church gets to 80% in either their seating or their parking, they will not grow anymore. They will not be able to grow anymore. And so people in the church, maybe, that don't like resetting of sales say, well, that's good. It's just us. Oh, amen. It's just us. No more. That's great. Nobody else can come. Can I submit to you, our work is not done for Jesus Christ. We can't hang a no vacancy sign out front like we did at Bethlehem at the inn, you know, and the innkeeper hollers to people, move on, I got no room for you. Who's going to be the no room out there, huh? Move on, we got no room for you. No, there's work to do. How many of y'all agree there's still people we need to reach for Jesus Christ? There's people who need the love of Christ. So what are you saying? We got to reset the sails. You say, well, how are we going to do that? That's another Sunday, all right, another time. But we're going to reset them, I'll guarantee you that, because our work's not done. Our work's not done. And I want to encourage you, as we endeavor to make changes in order to reach people and optimize our effectiveness as a church, don't live in the past. Don't get stuck in the ark. Don't be a person who wants to just sit in the ark or sit on the sailboat in the middle of the lake. Be a forward thinker. Be a person that's all about going forth and moving forward. And I am so thankful for many of our seniors. You know, I hear of a lot of churches and the seniors, you know, they don't want anything to change. Man, we got some great seniors in this church that are forward thinkers. You know, they're incredible. A church is a living organism, folks. It's like a person. You know, you don't do things the same way you did in 1960. You don't. If you have air conditioning in your car, and by the way, I doubt if you're driving the same car you drove in 1960. But if you got AC in your car, if you got a microwave, if you got a computer, a cell phone, you know, I mean, if you've got these things, you know, a microwave in your house, dishwasher, you probably didn't have those in 90. You didn't have cable TV in 1960. We understand the necessity of changing in our personal life. You know, just as you personally have to press forward and you have to make changes based on where you are in life and based on culture, a church has to do the same thing if it's going to continue to be vibrant and impact people for Christ. Life has its seasons, and that's true in the life of a church. We got to move forward. We can't get stuck in the arc of the past. But you know, that's not just true in the church's life. Can I submit to you that there are people who get stuck in the arc of the past in their personal life too? You think about last year for you personally. 2015 was unique. There'll never be another year just like it. It may have been a wonderful year for you, and you may have viewed it as a terrible year. I'm sure there were mountaintops, and I'm sure there were valleys. But I think there's one thing that we can all agree on. It's gone. It's gone. 2015's gone. And in your handout, it says 2016 is now here, and it's a new beginning. It's a new beginning. God has allowed you and I to see another brand new year. And it's like the banner says, God gives new life and new beginnings. And you have been given a brand new year. We're only 10 days into it. You got almost the whole entire year of 2016 in front of you. And I want to encourage you, press forward. There's a verse in your handout that Paul spoke. Look at it with me. Philippians chapter 3. He said in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth, unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In this context, Paul was desiring to know Christ in a greater way, but he knew that he had to make a conscious decision to forget the things which were behind. You cannot know someone in the present if your heart's dwelling in the past. And I deal with this with married couples many times. You get married couples who want to live in the past, and they're always bringing up the past, and they're always fussing about the past, and they're always throwing up the past, and they can't get past the past. Living in the past will kill your future, and it'll make your present miserable. Now, you can choose to do it, friend. You can choose to do it if you want to, but just understand that there are consequences. It's like two construction workers. And two construction workers I heard about were taking a lunch break, and they opened up their lunch boxes. And one of the guys looked into his lunch box, and he said, "Nut bologna again." He said, "I can't believe it. I hate bologna. This is the third time this week I've had bologna. I can't stand bologna." The other guy said, "Well, why don't you just ask your wife to make you something different?" He said, "I don't have a wife. I made these myself." You say, what is the point of that? There is a point. You may not be laughing when I make the point. The point is, most of the baloney in our lives is of our own choosing. Most of the baloney in our life, we put it there ourselves. We put it there. And if we want our marriage and we want our life to be different from the same old baloney, man, we got to change. We got to change. You can't do the same things and expect different results. You know, we got to change, or you're going to get the same old baloney. You got to go forth. You got to go forth. That's what he told Noah. Go forward, man. Move ahead. This can be a year in which you grow spiritually in your relationship with Christ greater than you have ever, ever, ever grown before. But in your handout, it says you can't allow the past to keep you in bondage. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting them. Forgetting those things which are behind. Now, real quick, look this way. Let me explain something. Forgetting doesn't mean forgetting. Forgetting doesn't mean that you fail to remember. All right, forgetting doesn't mean that that's gone, I don't remember that. No, there's no delete button. We're human beings. And though we wish we could erase bad memories, we can't. The idea behind forget in the Bible, you know how God says, "I'll remember your iniquities no more"? The idea behind that word of forgetting in the Bible, It's that we're no longer influenced or affected by those things. That's the idea of the word forget. For example, if you and I have a problem, but it's reconciled, and then you come to me 2 weeks later and you say, "Man, I really am sorry about what happened." And I say, "Man, I've already forgotten about that." Well, what do I mean by that? Well, it doesn't mean I have Alzheimer's and I can't remember it, right? Doesn't mean that I can't remember that that event happened, but I say, "Man, look, I've already forgot about that." What do I mean? I say, that doesn't influence me or affect me anymore. I've forgotten about that. And that's the idea of the word forget in the Bible. You're no longer influenced or affected by those past events. In your handout, it says, you cannot change the past, but you can change the meaning of the past. It's like you can't help it if you were a drug addict in the past. There's nothing you can do to go back and undo the past. There's nothing you can do if you used to be an alcoholic and you were in bondage to alcohol. There's nothing you can do to go back and undo that. If you have a broken relationship or broken relationships, there's nothing you can do about it. It's past. It's past. You cannot change that. But you can change the meaning of it. You see, Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote 13 books of the Bible. He had a rough past. And he could have allowed that to weigh him down and just destroy him. But instead, he said, "You know what? I'm going to use my past as an inspiration in my life. I'm going to use it as an inspiration to help other people." The events from Paul's past didn't change. But Paul's understanding of those events changed. And too many Christians are shackled by regrets and by events of the past. You know, you can't run a race effectively looking back all the time. You can't run a race and be looking back. You're not going to hit top speed that way. You may stumble and fall. I used to run hurdles in high school, buddy. You don't want to look behind when you're running hurdles. That's a good way to get taken out real quick. Buddy, you keep your eyes forward to that finish line, and you don't ever look back to find out where anybody else is. When I coach baseball, we tell those players, you hit that ball, you don't look back, you run ahead, and you look ahead, and you don't go looking at where the ball went or anything like that. You keep your eyes forward. Why? Because if you're always looking back, you're going to stumble and fall. You're going to run into something. When you live in the past, it will do nothing to change the past. And it will hinder you. It will hinder you in growing in your relationship with Christ. So what am I saying, church? I'm just telling you, don't dwell on past failures. Don't dwell on things you can't change. Don't dwell on past grudges. Don't dwell on hurtful events, because it's not going to help you. It's not going to help you. It's like the guy with the bologna. You can choose to do it, but it's not going to help you. It's going to hinder you. You know, when some people are like, I don't know how you can pastor the same place for 25 years. How can you be in the, that's been almost, you know, 30 I've been here at the church, and I don't know how you could be a pastor at one place like that, you know. And it takes a lot of grace to be able to put into practice what I'm preaching to you right now. You cannot live in the past. You have to look forward to the future. You cannot hang on to hurtful things of the past or maybe victories of the past. You have to move forward. You have to. May God give you the grace to do that. In your handout, it says the call to you is the same as it was to Noah. What was that call? Go forth. Move on. Move on, friend. Go forward. Paul said, press forward. Noah had to move out. He had to move forward. Noah had to move forward out of the path. Can't you just see Noah sitting in the ark like this?
I ain't moving.
God says, go forth, Noah. No, it might rain again. And I'm safe in here. And I've been here a long time, and this is where I aim to stay. God said, no, man, go forth. Go forth, move forward. You know, this was a necessary part of your life, but now you got to move forward. You got to leave the past behind. And I challenge you today to make a decision in your heart to look to 2016 as a year of change in your life. You say, you know what? I'm not going to allow myself to be shackled to the past anymore. And in your handout, it says you're going to determine to make 2016 a year in which you allow God to make glorious changes in your life. You can do it through God. You can do it. What do you want to change? What do you want to see God change? Let God work. Let Him work. Leave the past. Go forth. Amen, church. Amen.